to see the news of last night because, well, a month away from spring training gives him some stuff to write about between and now and then. Keegan Matheson covers the Blue Jays for MLB.com and joins us this morning. How are you doing this morning, Keegan?
Doing well, guys. Good morning. What should we talk about?
Yeah. You probably saw the message this morning and go, yeah, I wonder what these guys want to chat about. So I know this has been rumored for much of the offseason of the Blue Jays' interest in Springer and the Mets as well. But we heard about Blue Jay interest in a lot of different players in the offseason. At the end of the day, how surprised are you that they ended up actually being able to sign this guy?
Yeah, he was their number one target right throughout this offseason, not just because of his talent, but the rarity of a center fielder being available. The comparison I often make is a star NFL quarterback. There just are not enough, and when they are available, they're expensive. So the Blue Jays were heavily in on George Springer throughout, but this is a magnitude of move that we have not seen from the Blue Jays, period, and have not seen from this front office yet. This is bigger than Ryu. So there was always a bit of hesitation along the way. But as the Mets added Lindor and made some other moves and that field began to thin out, it became a little more obvious. In these past couple of weeks, the Blue Jays got up to that final point with George Springer. And the beauty of having financial flexibility is that, yes, you can play with the big dogs, but these last couple of days are where it really showed the value. You get to an even point with the Mets, and if dollars are even, George Springer is a Met, period. But the Blue Jays had that flexibility where they could say, hey, let's break this tie, let's go a step further. They got their guy.
And I've got to think, Keegan, in the future here, as far as maybe trying to attract a Bauer or certainly any of their players, first of all, look at this team as willing to spend, but also looks at it as a contender?
Certainly do. You know, returning to the playoffs last year does come with an asterisk. It was a shortened season. They snuck in, and it lasted about 5 minutes. You can't hold that up as a full postseason appearance, but this is a young team, a talented team. Everybody in baseball knows that. And now they are sending this message to the league. So much is made of the Toronto being the one Canadian team, and that's gotten more difficult this year because it's not looking like they'll be playing in Toronto. That's not as big a factor with some players, but it's still a narrative that exists. So this is what we saw with the Blue Jays back in the early 90s with those great teams. Suddenly when you bring in star players, everyone else turns their head and says, whoa, this Blue Jays team is legitimate. They are serious, and they are going for it. Winning talks, and everybody pays attention to a winning team. So this certainly makes their future pursuits a little easier, and it absolutely has the attention of everyone in baseball.
Talking Blue Jay Baseball with Keegan Matheson from MLB.com. So tell us, Keegan, how George Springer fits in this Blue Jay lineup. Where exactly does he play, and what does that mean as far as the rest of the outfield goes, and where do you think he fits into the lineup as well?
That outfield will be interesting. Randall Grichuk, the center fielder last year, of course, and beside him he has Lourdes Gurriel Jr., talented offensive player who was a Gold Glove finalist, and then Teoscar Hernandez, who was the breakout star of the season for the Blue Jays. So when you look at that picture, if you're a Blue Jays fan, you're probably saying one of two things. Well, trade Grichuk and his contract. Well, the same reason that you would like to trade him is the same reason it would be difficult to. The other suggestion you'll hear a lot of is move Lourdes Gurriel. Now, he is attractive to other teams because of his contract, but once again, that's why he's valuable to the Blue Jays. So these things do tend to work themselves out, whether that be through spring training with a good competition or an injury here or there. These things do tend to work out with time, but it's also possible that the Blue Jays add another outfielder and then really look to deal for some starting pitcher. When it comes to the lineup, having Springer hitting near the top, it would be someone, him or Biggio, that could even depend on the pitcher of the day. But this is a top-of-the-lineup hitter who is capable of pushing 40 home runs, especially in the AL East. But what the Blue Jays love is that he's a guy with a career 361 on-base percentage. The Blue Jays, for years and years, have been fun when they're hitting home runs, but man, there are some games where they just strike out 20 times and it's hard to watch. So getting a guy who can contribute in between those big swings, keep turning that lineup over and handing that baton to the big bats behind him. Man, if you are Hernandez, if you are Vladdy right now, you are looking at some serious RBI opportunities and a 2-3-4-5 through that lineup that is legitimately scary. It's no longer just a lineup with potential. It is a legitimate, threatening MLB lineup.
Any concern with Springer's numbers based on the cheating that went on in Houston?
There has to be, and there also has to be concern with a guy who is 31 going into a six-year deal. So that is something he'll have to answer for, of course. Looking at these past couple of years, his numbers have sustained. That 2018 season after the World Series was really his only down year, and I'm calling a down year a 780 OPS with an all-star appearance, so that's tough. But that will be something that I'm sure he will address, but I think his numbers since then certainly speak to continued success.
You kind of alluded to the fact of maybe bringing in another outfielder, and the name that's out there is Michael Brantley, and apparently he and Springer, by reports, he played in Houston last year, last couple of years, are pretty close, pretty tight. If they bring in Brantley as well, and Shapiro and Adkins would know him from their Cleveland days as well, like, does that mean two of the outfielders are going to go? Like, how is this all kind of work itself out if they bring in another outfielder?
Yeah, it's a crowded puzzle, guys, and I'm not used to breaking down a problem where there are too many good players. This is new ground for me. But with Brantley certainly being a possibility and a guy who could play a bit more DH, that DH role, I think, is going to be important in this entire puzzle. Now, a year ago, I would have said, move Teoscar Hernandez into DH. Get that glove out of the field. He took some strides there, though, and to his credit, he's got a huge arm. So another good problem for the Blue Jays, but I think if someone like Brantley were to enter the picture, yes, you are looking at a trade. The Blue Jays have some very impressive catching depth, which is rare. They also have some good young starting pitchers to go along with those outfielders. So that could open up a lot of avenues in trades. And when you do get to talking trades, guys, I know that when we talk finances and dollars and cents, the mind goes to free agency. But I would keep in mind that Yu Darvish deal from the Cubs to the Padres, where taking on a contract really helped the Padres. Maybe there's something out there like that for the Blue Jays, where they can eat a contract or take on a big contract without giving up all that much in terms of prospect capital, because there are teams looking to shed money.
And does that economically make a lot more sense when it comes to starting pitching and ready-made pitching, that, hey, via free agency is expensive, but in giving up some assets, that might make more sense?
There's definitely an advantage there for the Blue Jays, and now they have a bit of a position of power where they can choose. For most teams in an offseason, you enter it having to choose between one or the other, period. Now, for the Blue Jays, being able to choose between using their money or their prospects is a significant advantage, and the answer will probably be a combination of the two. But they still have a very strong farm system. It's considered highly around baseball, despite Vladdy, Bo, Biggio, and Nate Pearson all graduating from that system. Still some very good young talent coming. And like I said, that catching depth where they have some prospects there, just like George Springer, the rarity of a great center fielder was valued to the Blue Jays. There are clubs out there desperate to get their hands on some young catching or young starting pitching. The Blue Jays have that.
Keegan Mathison from MLB.com joining us. We're talking about the Blue Jays reportedly signing George Springer. There's been a lot of criticism of Ross Adkins and Mark Shapiro over the last few years about, you know, is there really a plan in place? It has been a, you know, it's been a long road. You know it. You were there when things were really good in 2015-16, and it's been pretty quiet for a long time since then. How much of this should be, you know, should they be credited for, and how much of it should be a little bit about fortuitous timing? Nobody would have thought a pandemic would have come around and changed the economics of baseball, and the Blue Jays right now are in kind of right place, right time, and being able to take advantage of the, you know, the economic world that baseball is living in right now.
No, certainly. That's part of it, and you need to acknowledge the realities. The Blue Jays were not in a 10-team bidding war up until midnight last night. This was, for quite a long time, down to them and the Mets, with a lot of teams who would normally be in on Springer either out of the market at that position or coming off some rough finances and not spending as big. So that sent the ball in the Blue Jays' direction. Now, from there, this is an impressive move by the front office because, like I mentioned earlier, it's not one that we have seen. This front office has done a good job with smaller deals. You know, you see that in the bullpen a lot, or some of the infield depth they've picked up along the way. They have nailed some of those smaller deals, and I've trusted all along that this front office and this organization would build young talent and get to this point. You know, that is not the easy parts, but a little more controllable. The difficult part is always going to be the jump. When you get to that point where you're around a 500 team and you need to make the big splash, and this is new ground for the Blue Jays, new ground for this front office, and it's not something we had seen before. So impressive from them, and they put their money where their mouth is. They said they would make that big splash when it was time. It was time, and they did it. So credit to them.
For where the Yankees and Red Sox are at, and just overall the American League East, is this perfect timing for this move?
Absolutely. You know, you're always going to have the Rays hanging around, and the Orioles are who they are, but I think in the American League, looking at where the Blue Jays can go these next few years, I think it's win now time for the Blue Jays. You want to win in the early years of a big deal like this. I know that the rest of this core is young, but this is Major League Baseball in 2021. You know, you're looking at guys like Juan Soto, Fernando Tatis. You don't need to be 25 or 28 anymore to be in your prime. It's time for the Blue Jays to win right now. That's what they're setting up to do. And I think if those wins come, there will be room for more payroll to be added, both at trade deadlines and next offseason as well. This won't be the end of it. I don't think they're opening that door just to shut it.
Is another arm, especially another starter, really the biggest hole that remains, and do you think they're going to fill it?
It has to be, and I think that will be their next target. The one issue is that there aren't that many top-end arms out there right now, and by that I mean the Bauer tier, the ace-level potential tier. Now, the Blue Jays have Ryu as their ace. Nate Pearson, the number one prospect, is probably that next ace, but is Pearson going to dominate this year, or will it be a learning curve? We'll see. Once you get deep into the playoffs, you cannot just have one ace. You know, you need multiple star pitchers capable of taking over games. That is the one thing missing, I think, from this Blue Jays roster right now. There are other holes, but I think that's the glaring need right now. Adding a number two or number three starter makes the Blue Jays into a team that could make some noise early in the playoffs, absolutely.
Yeah, Bauer's going to take a lot of term and a lot of money. So it's a bit of a roll of the dice, but he had a fantastic year last year. Are the Blue Jays, are they looking at it right now going, hey, this is a guy who could push us over the top here in very short order?
He could be, and with the Blue Jays, this would be another large move. Bauer will have a lot of interest from around baseball, teams like the Angels, for example, looking for that big upgrade. And with Bauer, you're also considering what you're bringing into your clubhouse. I know that's a different balance for each and every organization in this league. So that's going to be a challenging discussion for some teams, and the talent is certainly there. It's a matter as well of the limited options. There's a rather crowded second tier, we'll call it. And I don't mean that in an insulting way, but we're talking about James Paxton, Jake Odorizzi, Taijuan Walker. Very good, solid major league pitchers who can probably be that number three, number four for you. But the Blue Jays would like to target more upside. They have depth now, but they need that upside in the top of the rotation who's not just going to give them innings, but win them a few games.
Last one, you alluded to it earlier about this season coming up, going forward, doesn't look like, as we sit here right now on January the 20th, like the border is going to open anytime soon, and the prospect of, I guess, them playing out of Buffalo. What's being talked about in Toronto right now, Keegan, as far as this coming season? Are they looking at, hey, maybe we can get a half season in Toronto, or in all likelihood is everybody saying, well, when it's all said and done, it's probably a full season in Buffalo?
In a perfect world, the Blue Jays can get back here eventually, mid-season or late season. But I think that's very much coming, you know, in quotation marks, really, a perfect world. And we're not at that point yet. So I think that starting in Dunedin is a very likely possibility. They have their stadium there and their massive advanced new complex. So Dunedin could be likely. Buffalo is an option, but that's tough weather in April.
Yeah, great point. Great point, yeah. So you think that Dunedin is a better option right now than Buffalo to start the season?
I would lean towards Dunedin over Buffalo, yeah, just because of what they have there.
All right. Well, all of a sudden, your job just became a whole lot more interesting. You're writing about a team that I think a lot of people are going to put in the conversation as far as playoffs, and maybe even, depending on how the rest of the offseason plays out, World Series contention. Really appreciate the insight, as always, and the time. Spring training day one is what? Scheduled date yet? Anything?
It's in around the 14th, 15th. Yeah. I didn't book flights this year, so
Okay. <All right. laughs> Good stuff. Listen, really appreciate it, Keegan. Thanks. Good to catch up with you.
You got it, guys. Take care.